It was Passover. And as luck would have it, Jesus and the disciples had actually made it to Jerusalem, God's holy city, for the entire celebration. This would be by far one of the most memorable Passovers the disciples had ever had. If only they knew how memorable. Oh, Jesus had tried to tell them several times. He told them that this wouldn't be an ordinary trip for them. He tried to tell them what was going to happen, but they refused to listen. They refused to believe. As a matter of fact, at one point, Peter even stopped Jesus and said, "You know, give it a break, Lord. You are the Son of God. Nothing's going to happen to you. I mean, how much closer can you come to calling the Savior a liar?" And then adding insult to injury, James and John began arguing about which one of them would have the seat of honor when the kingdom finally came. Jesus tried to tell them all. They didn't have a clue. If only they knew what they were asking, they wouldn't be asking, but no one would listen to him. And Jesus, he couldn't figure out if it was that they didn't care or if they didn't want to know. Well, none of that really mattered now. Things would be what they would be. His only hope is that someday they would understand. Now it was Passover. A time to remember, to celebrate, to give God thanks. It was a time to remember when God had delivered the children of Israel out of the bondage of Egypt. It was time to give God thanks. And so Jesus gathered the disciples. And he began the celebration. It was Passover. And tonight they would celebrate one last time together. But as the meal began, the disciples stood there in dismay because who got the seat of honor? Judas, the foreigner, the one that they never really liked anyway. But you see, Judas knew. And that is why Jesus gave him the seat. Oh, he didn't know everything, but he knew. So when Jesus dipped a piece of bread in the bowl and handed it to him, Judas couldn't play the game any longer. If Jesus was going to act like the Messiah, then it was time that somebody call his hand. Maybe if they forced him, he would finally do what the Messiah was supposed to do. And so Judas took the bread from him. And when Jesus said, "Go and do what you must do," Judas walked out into the night. Knowing, but not really understanding where it was all going to end. As Judas disappeared into the night, Jesus knew that the end was near. He also knew that what was about to happen was not what Judas intended, but there was no way to stop it. It would be what it would be. So what should a person do when he knows that in only a few short hours he will be betrayed, denied, arrested, tried, beaten, and crucified for a crime that he never committed? But the scriptures tell us that Jesus turned back to the table. He finished the celebration, sang the last hymn, and walked out into the night, into the arms of certain death. So how did he do it? How could Jesus continue singing and giving God thanks when he knew the agony that awaited him? How did he do it? I mean, it's a question that every time I read that scripture just turns my blood cold. He sang the last hymn, and they went out to the Mount of Olives. I look around at our world, and I wonder, how do we sing? How can children sing when the money that their parents should spend on clothes and food goes for alcohol and drugs instead? How can someone who is being abused and misused sing praises of thanksgiving to God? A God who seems so far away. How can we sing when our jobs are eliminated and our savings dissipate and our retirements go up in thin air? How do we sing when the bills keep pouring in and we don't know where the money's coming from? How do we sing when someone we love is hurting and there's nothing we can do to stop the pain? These are the questions the psalmist asked when, in the midst of a long and cruel exile, he cried out, "By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept and remembered Zion. There on the poplars we hung our harps. For there our captors ask us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, sing us the songs of Zion. But how can we sing a song in a foreign land? Lord, how can we sing?" How do we sing? How do we sing when our hearts are breaking, when our minds are racing, and when the future that lies before us is uncertain and filled with doubts? We must do exactly what Jesus and the psalmist did. Trust God. We must trust God enough to be painfully honest, to pour out our pain and our grief and our anger and our disappointment. And then we must be patient enough to wait in the silence for the answers we want, the answers we need, the answers we deserve. How can we sing our songs in a foreign land? We must trust the one who created the melody and the words for our lives. And in the name of the Sesame Street gang, don't worry that it's not good enough for anyone else to hear. Just sing. Sing your song. To God be the glory. Amen.